The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the Freemen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said to them, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels, and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, it says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone," and also says, "A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the Gospel lesson just read, John 14, 1-14, for the fifth Sunday of Easter. The title of the sermon is, "No one comes to the Father except by Jesus." Most of you know that I was raised in San Jose, which is not far from San Mateo. When Americans hear the name San Jose, they often think of the song, "Do you know the way to San Jose?" For you younger folks, that song was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, and performed by Dionne Warwick in 1968, and she got a Grammy Award for singing that song. Yes, I know the way to San Jose, and there are plenty of ways to get there. You know, we could take the Caltrain commuter train, which starts a couple of blocks away from church at the Hillsdale Caltrain station, and finishes in downtown San Jose at the Dryden station. There we are. We could take the county bus system via Samtrans and Valtrans, transferring in downtown Palo Alto at University Avenue between the El Camino and railroad tracks. By car, we could take the old Bayshore Freeway, also known as US 101, or we could take the Junipero Serra Freeway, also known as Interstate 280. If we were not in a rush, we could take the oldest road in the state, the El Camino Real, starting at the east end of 28th Avenue, just a few blocks from our church, hang a right at the Union 76 station, and then head south by southeast all the way to the city of Santa Clara, and then continue on the Alameda over to downtown San Jose. If you wanted the scenic route, take State Route 92 uphill to Skyline Boulevard, and then head south by southeast to Highway 9, through the village of Saratoga, and then via any number of boulevards to the destination of San Jose. In our modern culture in America, we are used to having any number of ways of getting to places, of accomplishing a goal, or of getting the stuff that we need or want. America is really a great land of options. Maybe not unlimited options, but plenty of options, and more than you would ever care to try out. If one way doesn't work, then the next time you can try something else. The consumer society that is so often talked about is really about having options for whatever you do. Now, this mindset that we have of having multiple options carries over into the American way of thinking about religion and God. There is no other large nation on this planet that is so diverse in matters of religion. I just think about the other countries. If you were a native of Saudi Arabia, you would be Muslim. And if you weren't, and you were a citizen there, everybody would say, "What's wrong with you?" And they would shun you. If you were a native of Russia, you'd basically have three options. You could be Russian Orthodox, maybe Jewish, or maybe atheist. That's three choices. If you were a native of Italy or France or Ireland, you'd probably be Catholic or atheist. If you were a native of Sweden, you would be a Lutheran, a state church Lutheran, or an atheist. If you were a native of Thailand, you would be probably a Theravadin Buddhist. And you can go on, but you get the idea. Since America has been created by the immigration of people from all nations of this earth, and they brought their religions with them, Americans generally take two paths when it comes to religion and the religion of people around us. Number one, we can reject the religion of other people as part of our ethnic prejudice against them. Or two, we can accept their religions as equally true as part of our ethnic tolerance toward them. And that's what you generally see when you talk to people. The first path was taken years ago by the Ku Klux Klan, which not only was against anyone who was not of the white race, but was also against the religions of Jews and Catholics and non-Protestant religions. The second path is popular today and is led by Hollywood, the media, and people like Oprah Winfrey, who hosted an interfaith prayer service at Yankee Stadium after the attack on the World Trade Center in 2001. They did that interfaith prayer service to display American solidarity with all religions and to foster the belief that all religions lead to God. What did Jesus think about the popular idea in the United States that all religions lead to God? Well, we don't need to speculate about that subject because Jesus addressed it clearly in his discussion with his apostles, and it's recorded in our text for this day, and it's just one of the places he talks about this issue. In our gospel, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me. Now, that is an utterly exclusive claim. There are no exceptions to this rule here or in any other part of the Bible. If you accept the authority of Scripture as being God's Word, then there is only one way to God, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What did Jesus mean when He said that He is the only way to the Father? This is clear in the verses at the beginning of our text, verses 2 and 3, where Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Well, this is a promise that Jesus is making to his disciples, and that includes all Christians ever since he came, about eternal life in heaven with him, the angels, and all the saints. Therefore, Jesus is the only way to achieve everlasting life in heaven with God. How can you or anyone go to the Father or to heaven by Jesus? That little preposition "by" in English indicates instrumental means. Since you cannot hop on Jesus' back and ascend into heaven, he has supplied you exclusive means by which you can enter heaven and see the Father. Those means are what we Lutherans call the means of grace. They are the Word of God and the sacraments. So that if you believe the Word of God found in Scriptures and receive the sacraments in faith, you will someday enter into heaven and see the Father. This is the meaning of the ending of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned." Mark 16:16. What does it mean to be baptized? When you were baptized, you began walking on the path that is Jesus. He is the way. Baptism is the trailhead for the long and winding road to heaven. Everybody must start on the trail somewhere, and that somewhere is the font of life in holy baptism. But baptism is just a start. The rest of the trail is your walk of believing in Jesus and his promises in Scripture. Those promises found throughout the New Testament are what we Lutherans call the gospel. Faith, which is a synonym for the word belief, is understanding, accepting, and trusting in those promises of Jesus and his apostles. People who don't have such faith cannot enter heaven, even if they have been baptized. How can such faith save you? It is not because of anything you do or merit. It is because faith attaches itself to the promises of Jesus. The promises of Jesus are based on the work of his suffering and death on the cross, by which he paid for all the sins of the world, including all your sins. So what really saves you is Jesus' passion and death and his obedience. The cross is what saves you. The promises of Jesus offers its benefits, and faith receives what is offered. This is the only way that you or anybody else can be saved, see the Father, and enjoy eternal life. Now, this way of salvation that I've just explained to you is classic Reformation theology, first discovered by Martin Luther 500 years ago. It is a very exclusive understanding of the Christian faith. Why is that? It's because it excludes your good works or virtue from having any role in salvation. It excludes your own ideas or your willpower from having any role in conversion. It excludes Mary, the saints, priests, and a church hierarchy from having any role as mediators. It also excludes other ways of understanding Christianity or religion. But it is exclusive in these ways only when it remains true to the words of Jesus and the apostles, who also proclaimed an exclusive gospel. Even as this gospel is exclusive in what it excludes, it is inclusive in whom it includes. Here the words of St. Paul ring loud and clear. God wants all men to be saved. Did you hear that? All men. That means all men, women, and children, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. And now notice at the end of that Paul does not say that those who are saved can believe whatever they want. Not at all. God wants them all to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who is the truth? Well, Jesus is. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says in our text. What is the truth? Primarily, whatever Jesus said, including when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Secondarily, the truth is whatever the apostles wrote down in the New Testament scriptures and the prophets inscribed in the Old Testament. May you stand in awe and wonder with Thomas, Philip, and all the apostles as you believe in Jesus, who is your only way to the Father and your eternal home. In Jesus' name, Amen.